Raw and Nerdy.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Raw and Nerdy. This is episode number 30. With all the extra episodes we've been doing, we've almost caught up with Starfield Raw. Getting there. And I am joined by my fellow co-hosts, the dead to the world, Rook.
Yes, I'm dead to the world. I've been putting in long hours at work, long weeks, but I'm excited to get this show started, and yeah, I am so happy we've already hit episode 30.
Yeah, it's flying by. And the Archon himself is with us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Episode 30 on the Nerdy.
And this is the first episode in a while that we've gone back to our normal show.
Yeah, we're finally done with all the WonderCon stuff.
I think people are going to miss us recording so much.
I know. I say finally, but that just means that the WonderCon door is shut, and that makes me sad because
it's over.
It's over. Apparently, there was
another big expo this weekend over in Las Vegas called Level Up Con.
Yes, I read about that actually. I don't even know about it.
Check that out one of these days. I didn't know about it until. I follow somebody that's just. Streamer, and she went, and I didn't realize it was big until I saw that SoCal Singles. They were there in Las Vegas, of all places.
Huh. It's a good place to be single.
I know, right?
Yeah, I want one of you guys to go with me to Vegas in January of next year to go to the big tech convention.
Yeah, good luck.
It'll probably be easier for me to go, depending upon my situation by that time of year.
Hopefully yeah. It's better than it is now.
As long as I'm still working where I work, I have to put in my vacation like a year in advance.
That is like some of the stupidest stuff I've ever heard.
Too late. It's already there.
Yeah, it's dumb. But, I mean, when you're operating a, like, 70-some trucks all going out at the same time, and only 6 people can be off at a time, otherwise you don't have people to cover routes, and they do it, but it also, like, sucks, because you have to, like I said, you have to plan it, like, I have to put in all my vacation time at, like, when did we do it, at the beginning of April, or, no, it was before that even, March.
That's kind of vacation because people can't always know exactly what their plans are going to be a year in advance.
Right. I know it was like right around the time we did WonderCon, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I don't even know when some of the cons are going to be next year, so I can't request off time to go to them. And like you request, you know, the second week of August off, you don't know what the weather's going to be like. I mean, it's hard to plan vacation that far in advance, but
yeah.
Especially when we have off the wall, hey, let's go to this convention in this location.
On these 3 days.
That's why we need to just get this big. Get it big, and then we can set our own vacation times.
So this is going to be our big Fallout episode. We're going to be talking about the series from what we've watched, and sadly, I still haven't watched the last episode. I got busy with stuff. I know. That's on me. Slap my hand. I'm guessing Rook's still on 4.
It's so big.
And I haven't watched.
You're missing. Like, I can't ask you the question I want to ask you as long as until you watch that last episode. So hurry up and watch it.
Well, we do got it. We got stuff to talk about for the games and stuff like that. And there's some stuff in the news about Fallout series. Before we get into all the fun news, we got a lot of news items too. Let's talk about our weeks, man. It's been a long time since we've been able to do this.
I'll start, because mine's so long.
You worked.
A lot. And started watching X-Men 97, actually. Because, you know, unlike Fallout, which is an hour long, X-Men 97 is what? 30 minutes-ish?
22 minutes an episode.
Yeah, it's awesome because I like how they developed the characters. And I also love how they kept the original art style and just it's brighter, more well done. So far, I'm liking it.
I've seen the first 2 episodes so far.
That's been my week in nerdom.
Yeah, see, Rook here has been working 6 or 7 days a week.
12-hour days.
12-hour days like a slave. I keep getting on his case, man. You gotta get those days off. You can't. He's gonna burn himself out so quick.
But I've also been watching a lot of wrestling stuff from WWE and whatnot. Learning, and I watched one of these channels on YouTube, and it's awesome because they actually show you how dangerous the moves are. They rate them. They show you how they get the sound of making impacts with people on kicks and stuff like that. It's really cool watching all that stuff.
I've never been a wrestling fan. I don't think I ever will.
See, I like wrestling.
It's fun to watch.
I like wrestling, but it's really cool seeing how well they have to work together to pull off the stunts and how fast they have to react if something starts going wrong.
It's basically a male soap opera. That's been described that way so many times.
Some of the promos are really funny, though. I mean, you know it's all a television show. You know it's not real, but the athleticism that goes into it is 100% real. The injuries some of these dudes get, 100% real. And I don't know, I respect it for what it is.
The dedication these people have to their craft. There's a wrestler named Cody Rhodes. I think it was last year or the year before. He tore his pec. Then he worked out and completely tore it off the bone. And his whole arm and his right hand chest and his arm was all bruised and red. It's like, dude, they're dedicated.
Yeah, they go through a lot. And you watch some of these things like from back in like the 90s and stuff like that, when like some of the matches with Shane McMahon and stuff where he's jumping off of like 50-foot towers on top of people. You're like, there's no way that didn't hurt.
No, like, they've got real injuries, that's for sure.
Oh, man. Like some of the things, it's crazy.
But it's saying like the records of this person's held the belt this longest championship. Well, yeah, because I wrote it into it. It was not something he actually did.
Well, there's more to it behind the scenes. Yes, they wrote it in, but another star has to be popular enough, has to get enough reaction from the crowd for them to actually give him a chance to, quote unquote, wrestle for the belt.
Right.
So there is a lot of stuff that goes to it.
Like those promos and stuff you watch, like you think, oh gosh, they're just talking again. But those are how they get the crowd behind them, and getting the crowd behind them is basically how they get those promotions. Mm-hmm. So the more popular they are, or the bigger the heel they become, the bigger chances, like more opportunities they get. So it does matter, but
I could have a whole
episode. Yeah, that's a whole other episode.
Let's move on to somebody else.
My week, I also worked a little bit. I blew my knee out pretty bad at work, but I've been working through it anyway. Probably shouldn't, but can't afford not to, so I do it anyway. When I'm at home, I can't really move a whole lot, so I've been playing a lot of OG EverQuest. They're opening up a brand new time lock progression server for the 25th anniversary of the game this next month, and so I'm just kind of getting back into the groove, remembering my combos and everything, just getting back to where once that opens up, I can start playing. While I've been, as you guys know, while I've been working, I've been listening to the Wheel of Time series. I just finished book 6, The Lord of Chaos.
You've been listening to a lot. Those things, like we established, are quite long.
Yeah, quite long. The next couple books in the series, though, actually aren't terrible bad. Like, I think the next one's only like 25 hours long, and then the one after that's like 28 hours long. So the next like 3 books are in the 20-ish hours, but the last few have been like in the 40s and 50s. So, yeah.
But when you're really into an audiobook and you drive a lot, that's a good thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for real. I actually finished the book at home. I sat here while I was playing my game listening to it because I was only a few hours from the end and I was so invested. I'm like, I need to finish this. Yeah, this is the furthest I've ever been in the series. It's a 14-book series and I'm now 6 books in. For some reason, I always like got distracted somewhere in the middle of book 6, and that's I never have finished book 6 before, and I'm kind of glad I did because the ending of this book was wicked cool. But I have through book 11 right now. I just got my monthly credit, so I can get book 12 now. I'm hoping I don't get done with book 12 before I can get the credits for the other two. But yeah, I'm really excited to like actually see the whole story this time. I'm dedicated to finishing the whole series. So
yep, there goes 200 hours.
At least.
Well, it's great, though. I mean, I listen to so many audiobooks. I said it before. I have 154 audiobooks in my Audible account for over 12 years. I've been paying a monthly fee.
Yeah, I just got an email from Audible saying that so far this year, so just this year, I've already listened to 8,747 minutes of audiobooks, which equates out to like 145 hours or so far this year in the first 4 months. Not bad.
No. I've been listening to an audiobook, which I'll get into here in a second, that is absolutely terrible and such a huge disappointment.
That sucks.
After 18 hours of listening to it, hoping it would get better. Anything else, bud?
No, that's been more.
I have been playing a lot of Conan, waiting for my boys to hop on a particular game series.
Listen here, sir. I've been sitting here waiting for you to play
it. Oh, I know. Yeah, it's been a crazy week. And Rook's always, with all his work, it's been really hard for him. We'll get there. So basically, like, me and Rook have teased about this on our other show. We're not going to give any details because we don't have any details set in stone yet, but we are working on a third show, and we'll let you all know when we get it all figured out. We basically know what it's going to be about. That's about
it.
It
is one that's going to have all three of us.
I'm spoiling it right now. It's going to be that show about that thing that's really cool, and everybody's going to like it.
That's the goal. Yeah. But I've been playing a lot of Conan. I've been on a single-player game that I've modded up completely with all kinds of mods. I just put a couple of new really cool ones that add all new quests and stuff in the game and all new systems. But I've been working heavily on a massive castle complete with an outer and inner gate with three different gatehouses and gatekeeps in the main castle. And I'm going to be putting in like a bathhouse, stuff like that. I've been going nuts on it, just enjoying the crap out of it. And I set my level to 78. So I have all the stats maxed out, so I can actually solo some of these things, because the game's not really kind to soloing all the stuff.
Dude. Come on.
What?
Come on. I was soloing the stuff when it was just base level 60. I was able to solo most of the stuff.
Not all the raids.
Well, not the raids.
That's what I'm doing.
Those are designed for more than one person.
Which is why I set it up to where I can do them solo, because it's only me.
Yeah.
That's fair.
And I finally got a thrall to level 20, which is like something that has never even come close to yet. She got to 20, and I put her in my castle, and she's staying there.
Now what you need to do is you need to find one that increases the thrall level cap.
I was going to say, you don't have an increased thrall level cap?
No, I've been looking for that. I haven't found it. There's a complete conversion mod that I downloaded. I'm going to try out one of these days soon. That completely changes a lot of the base elements of the game, a whole new map and everything. Highly, highly, highly rated. Lots of praise, so I'm going to check it out. But
what's it converted to?
It gives all new like class and profession systems, guild systems, a whole different map from the two that's currently out there. All different NPCs, quests, raids, you name it. All different kinds of new weapons.
I think I can put it on that map on the server, yeah.
It'd be a whole different map. We'd start from scratch.
I know, it's one of the options. You can do either the island, the mainland, or there's the third one.
But we also got the other stuff we're going to be doing, so. But yes, I still love playing Conan. I've been having a blast with it. And when I'm alone, it's a great way to kill some time. And yeah, I got to build that. I got to finish that castle. I put a couple pictures up of the early phases in our Discord.
So I haven't even logged in weeks.
Yeah, but I'm excited to do the other games with you guys.
Yeah.
We'll get into that later.
I still gotta make time to play Starfield too.
Yep.
Especially the one that we dabbled our toes in a little while ago. I just like want to play that game now. I can't wait till we can announce this.
I haven't even attempted to play. I take that back. I attempted to play Starfield, and as soon as I booted in, I shut it down and laid down in bed.
Honestly has been my experience.
Need some time off.
That is my experience with all video games right now.
Well, you're getting to that age, Rook, where if you keep working yourself the way you're working yourself, you're going to give yourself a heart attack. So,
nah, I'm going to live
forever. You're going to look older than me.
You're getting to that age, man.
I've been hooked on a show called NPC D&D, and it's done by Viva La Dirt League, the guys from
YouTube. You brought him up last week.
Yeah, I did, and it is unreal funny. They even got sponsored by D&D. For a few episodes for the Northern the standalone campaigns that they release sometimes. Anyway, they got sponsored to it and they incorporated it into the show, and the things that they do is so reminiscent of actual D&D and how players really do really stupid stuff and then they act it out. It's so good. I highly recommend it. And I've been listening to Jake's Magical Shop 2 on Audible. I love the first book. The first book, the first half of it was incredible. The author hit the magic sauce for a really, really good book. And then he went away from that in the second half and started going into different tropes for magic. And it started getting a little weird. So when I got the second book, I was so hoping he'd be going back to his shop and doing what the title suggests. No. What made the first book so good, but they're not. He's a completely different timeline, different world, different universe, different magic systems, to where he's hit every single magic trope there is. I'm just waiting for him to now have wands and speak spells at this point. And the character,
I know how much you love that.
And and the character is just completely different than what he was in the first book. He's a complete and utter moron. He's not bright.
I have learned from experience,
and he's a wimp.
If you get a couple hours into a book and you're waiting for it to get better, generally it doesn't.
Yeah, I'm going to finish it, and I'm going to leave a little nice one or two star review on it.
Oh, no.
Be like, what's up with this author? This is dumb. it's not what it should be. You had it right the first time, and you're just messing it all up. Well, we'll see. I'm most likely will not read it. Third book, unless it goes back to the format of the first book. Otherwise, I won't touch it. It's just not worth it at this point. And I have 4 credits in Audible. I got to figure out what I'm going to do with, because my favorite series doesn't have a fourth book yet.
You should see, I got a lot of Audible credits that I need to use.
If I could gift them, I'd gift you one, Archon.
I need a few.
So that was it for the weeks, guys. So this main episode is going to be about Fallout. So we'll get into that first before we get into the news, and we'll just use the news at the end of the show. Yeah, some of us watched it at the show at different levels, and the cool thing about the show is it has completely spiked all the games, which we've mentioned before. But the numbers as of today, and I looked at, forgot the name of the website, I should have put it up, where it goes through Steam Analytics, basically. And I looked at 30 days, the last 30 days activity for all of the Fallout games. And the top most played game, which is... why it's the top most played is because Bethesda just last Thursday released a new graphic overhaul update that is massive for Fallout 4. I have it. I have not played it yet, but I am going to. I like Fallout 4.
I logged in and I played until you get out of the vault, and it is absolutely gorgeous.
That's what I've been hearing.
Gorgeous. It looks like Starfield, like, not joking with you.
They put in full ambient inclusion. The shading is done so much better.
Yeah. Which one?
Fallout 4.
Fallout 4.
Ooh, I've heard a lot of bad things about that update.
Everything I've been hearing has been overwhelming.
Yeah, I have not heard
the graphics. A lot of the review sites and stuff I've actually read, and that my Google keeps popping up, is saying that it's literally nothing but a graphical update. It doesn't.
Well, that's
really
the whole point. It's supposed to be a graphic update.
That's what it is. It's a graphic. Yeah, it's a graphic update.
They say it doesn't really enhance the game too much. So I haven't looked at it. I haven't jumped into Fallout 4 to see if it actually changed anything.
It changed the graphics. They made it more modern.
Again, I haven't jumped in the game to see what it looks like differently.
Yeah, it's like if you were to play Fallout 4. It's still the same exact game, but now it looks like Starfield. Like,
I don't know if that's a
great
Starfield as it is now, or Starfield on release.
As it is now.
Okay,
yeah. Which is a big difference. You got a valid point there.
It's beautiful. It really is.
So I'm planning on playing it when I get an opportunity, because I want to finish my castle in Conan before I really get into another single player game. I'm going to be playing multiplayer specific games with my boys, but yeah.
Too much going on, right? I want to play it. I have it. It's in my library. I have the update downloaded. I actually have every Fallout game in my library.
I have 76 and 4 queued up, ready to go.
I don't have them all downloaded, but they're in my library. I have 4 downloaded and I have 76, yeah. But I just don't have the time. Especially with that newest server coming out in EverQuest next month. Like, plus the... I know. I can already see the look that you're about to give me on the webcam, but the new Diablo season where they're completely revamping everything.
Well, I knew this was coming.
Hopes, I have hopes.
I don't. They ruined it for me.
No, I have hopes. They can't.
By the way,
okay.
Since you brought up Blizzard, I'm going to pipe this in real quick. BlizzCon's canceled this year.
Yeah.
Yep. BlizzCon did get canceled this year.
I was trying to say it really fast actually, as a footnote.
I was
actually going to add that into the show since I'm the one who told you that. But yeah, I was going to mention that.
There's a particular person that I know is going to be very disappointed by that.
Yeah. The reason I'm hearing why they canceled it this year is because they don't have anything big to release this year.
Yeah, Blizzard's on the down. They're just tanking so hard. I mean, they were the premier video game company that was known for the best quality of their gaming. And long time ago, they've tanked that.
The biggest things that they have coming out this year are the new World of Warcraft expansion and this whole revamp of Diablo 4 and the expansion, but they've already announced those. They've already released them. There's nothing to tell. So since they don't have any big reveals, there's no point in having a BlizzCon.
So back to Fallout. The numbers for all the games, this is interesting, okay? So Fallout 4, you want me to go from the least to the greatest or greatest to least?
Start at Fallout 1 and make your way up.
Well, I have it listed as the ones that are doing the least amount of new players to the ones that has gotten the most gains.
Right.
But I could do it. Just the base game?
Go chronologic order.
All right, let me figure this out, because I did not do that way.
The original Fallout
has 3,500 new players, which is a 997% increase. Now, that's on the bottom end because of the amount of new players is significantly less than the top end, but it's still got a massive increase for being such an old game. The original Fallout, I've never played.
Bad the graphics and everything are on the first one. The fact that 3,500 more people are playing it, that's impressive.
But these are the stats, by the way, for the last 30 days.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you got to remember, that game was made in the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
Now, is this... Okay, hold on. Let me ask. Are these stats based on the number of people... New people playing the game or people that have bought it off of Steam?
New people currently playing the game.
Like actually play. Okay, because yes. Like just recently when the show first came out, they had a Steam sale where they sold a pack with all the games.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, this is
what I bought. So like I was wondering if...
Steam tracks the people that are actually playing it. And they track the players based on how many... Like there's a minimum set hours before they'll count it as one. Okay. So if they go in for 5 minutes and go out, they don't count as played. Gotcha. It has to break their refund barrier.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
which makes sense.
Yeah, that's impressive. 3,500.
Yeah, for being the original.
Not bad either.
I've been curious about the original Fallout. Actually,
same. It's actually not bad. It's another one of those series that I've thought about playing all the way through. But there's another one I want to do first.
The big thing to remember: if you play the original Fallout, it is a time-based game. And things do happen in the background.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, okay. I remember hearing about that. That's a good point. Yeah.
And another thing to keep in mind that if you played the original Fallout or Fallout 2, it was not made by Bethesda.
No, it was Interplay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was bought by Bethesda, and they own it, but it was not made by Bethesda.
And New Vegas was not made by Bethesda either, but they were basically, I don't want to say controlling, but they were heavily influencing the development of Fallout New Vegas. People think, but it was so good because Bethesda didn't have anything to do with it. Well, that's not true. They had their team over there nonstop working with the developer for New Vegas, working on that title.
Obsidian is one that made New Vegas.
So it wasn't just Obsidian doing it and not without any influence of Bethesda. It was quite opposite, really. But, so Fallout 2 was the lowest gainer of all of the games at 535% increase with 1,900 new players.
Probably because they're trying to get through Fallout 1 first.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Fallout 2, its story actually takes place, I don't remember the time frame after, but I like how Interplay did those two games back to back.
So I know the original Fallout was an overhead view, correct?
Yes. Actually, more of a, not directly overhead, more of a 45 degree camera overhead,
which was a big thing. I forgot the actual terminology for it, but that was a big thing back in the 80s and 90s, or 90s in particular, doing adventure games, as you could see more of the environment. And the processors couldn't really handle showing everything from a third or first person point of view. So that's when they did it. I think Fallout 2, is that when they started transitioning to third person?
No.
Oh,
that was Fallout 3, right? It was
Fallout 3 is when they did.
Speaking of Fallout 3, the Game of the Year edition in particular is one of the bigger gainers, and it's gotten 778% increase with 10,000 new players.
Yeah. The one that started Fallout as we know it to this day.
Yes.
Not surprising. I actually really enjoy Fallout, and as much as you say it doesn't, like, the show isn't based on anyone in particular, if I had to say it was based on one, I would say it's based on Fallout 3. It's the closest.
I think they've said the timeline is within the same period.
The timeline is after Fallout 4 is what they said. They have canonized one of the endings to Fallout 4.
Okay, that makes sense.
Gosh, I hate that you guys haven't seen it, because then you'd understand. Once you've seen it, you'll understand that it, to me, and you'll understand why I say it follows 3 in the
They literally came out and said it is after Fallout 4 is the timeline when it takes place.
They can say that all they want, but like I said, once you finish the show...
I'll finish it tonight. I was going to watch it before the show, but I got wrapped up in other things.
But no, all the actions and stuff...
Yeah, you're not watching it tonight until after I go to bed.
No, I'm not.
All the actions I've seen tonight so far, or on the show so far, are in line with it taking place after Fallout 4. Yeah,
if Todd Howard says this is when it takes place, that's when it takes place. I don't argue.
The Prid one does not exist in any time other than Fallout 4 and after.
That's cool, but I'm just saying, like, the story itself with the girl who leaves the vault looking for her dad, it follows 3. That's the story of Fallout 3.
Yes and no.
But, and the way it ends,
so does a super, do you have, does the character have a choice of sending a super mutant in to do his job for him and then get a sad ending at the end because he was a coward and didn't sacrifice his own life to save the wasteland?
You'll see.
That's actually the ending to Fallout 3 if you choose that.
Which I've never beaten that one. I want to. There's a lot of these Fallout games I really want to play. I've been way more into Elder Scrolls for various reasons. The lore, and I know a lot about the lore of Fallout for also various reasons I can't get into, including like how the vault systems is and all that lore behind those, which is awesome. And if you guys don't know about that, play the games. It's I don't want to spoil anything on it, even though most of these games have been out for many years, but the vaults are just cool.
But the series does make canon a lot of a very common fan theory that Vault Tech is the cause of the nuclear war, the nuclear launch.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah.
People were already dropping.
A lot of, I forgot the name of the YouTuber I follow for this, but there is talk out there because Fallout 3, if you go look at the bomb, you see a Vault-Tec signal on it. I have the New Vegas already highlighted for you, sir.
Yeah, you've been helping me a lot with that. I appreciate that.
you guys, you got to finish episode 8. That's how we will. It makes so much more sense.
So the game that a lot of these, I was looking at some top 10 lists, a couple of them that were just completely dumb, but they all put New Vegas, those two I looked at put New Vegas as number one for the top game, and yet it's the lowest, the second lowest gainer at 344% with 3,000 players.
Well, see, that's gainer. There's already more people that play it over all the other games.
It only had 1,000 prior to that.
Yeah, but you got to remember, not everybody plays through Steam.
That's true.
That's true, but...
Because when it came out, Steam wasn't the biggest thing. I had it on a PS3.
Yeah, I had it on PS3 too.
Actually, no, sorry, I had it on the Xbox.
I've only played about 5 hours of New Vegas, and it wasn't bad.
No, Xbox.
There was something in the game that confused me, and I just got tired of it and went to something else. But that was a while back, though. That was a while back. Probably like 7-8 years ago. Fallout 4 has obviously skyrocketed because, and it's the number one gainer because of the new graphic overhaul and the show. I think it plays both factors into it. It's gone up 629%, but with 162,000 player increase.
Yeah,
that's huge.
That is insane. And it's a good game, and I've never beaten it, and I really want to. I like how that game starts.
What?
I got very far into it. I never beat it. I got very far into it. I think I have like 45 hours in that game.
I got to the castle and stopped trying to beat it because I tried developing the castle. I get to a point in that game, and I start focusing on developing, building up a base, and then I'm like, I'm going to take a break from this.
Fallout 76 is the second biggest gainer and the last one on the list. It had 476% increase with 61,000 new players.
476,000% increase.
Prior to those 30 days, it had number one amount of people playing.
Yeah, because they've actually been... Bethesda actually took their time to fix that game and make it better.
They update it every quarter. Add new stuff, add new content.
And they let you know they're actually updating it.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of DLCs, yeah.
There's a burn there. I saw that.
Yes, yes, there was a burn there.
I think what we theorized on Starfield off the record, or Starfield Raw, was, I think that's accurate. I really, really think it's accurate. If you guys don't want to know what that is, go check out Starfield Raw, episode 37.
Yes, we actually go deep dive into this and to their lack of talking about that game.
So check it out. So that is the numbers. I didn't go into the rest of them, like the offshoots, like the strategy game or the
All you did was you went into the canon ones.
Yeah, I did.
The ones that are considered canon. Because Tactical is not considered canon. Brotherhood of Steel game is not considered canon.
Or Shelters.
Or full canon, I should say. Yeah.
Shelters.
Which is a fun little mobile game. I played the crap out of that.
I've never played it.
And it's just like any other base building game on mobile.
Yeah. It's a crack cash grab like every other free-to-play game on mobile. That's why I don't do mobile games, because it's all...
It's just a better cash grab than some of the others.
Yeah.
The only mobile game I ever really, really got into, like played religiously, was Clash of Clans and Clash Royale. Those were the only...
I did Clash of Clans, yeah.
Got way into those games. Like, every day I'd be logging on.
I think I spent like $300 on that stupid game.
My buddy...
I never spent any money.
One of my roommates, he's just finally taking a break. He was doing the Starfleet Command one. Yeah, he dumped some serious time.
So I had
money
a friend that lived in Buffalo when we started playing the Clash of Clans that we figured out how to port it to the PC. So we can play our mobile version on the PC. We go to his place. We each get a $100 gift card, put it on there, and just play all night.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty dumb. It was fun, but yeah, not the most economical thing to do. Yeah, so I do want to get back into 76, and I want to grab my friends at one of these points to go play it again. Me and Rook played a lot together.
Mm-hmm.
It was a blast. His biggest complaint is my biggest complaint, where we can't have a shared base.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure they did not fix that.
No, and I get why, because they don't want people just building a base, logging off, and never coming back again, so your base disappears after you log off.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. That makes total sense. I just don't like it.
Yeah. I mean, you can go visit your friends' bases, and they can give you permission to do anything in there, but you just can't build on it.
Yeah.
And I had a really nice, cozy house. I went and logged into it recently. See where I was at. I was like level 82 with my sniper build, and I forgot that you could have different builds, and I didn't play that character because it's been so long I would not remember how to play him. But I had a really nice house with all my crafting, overlooking a huge cliff, looking down at the mayor's mansion down below. I remember I put a lot of time into that little place. It came out pretty good.
Yep.
In the news, Fallout Season 2 has been greenlit, which is not really a surprise for most people.
Yeah.
And
they greenlit it before they finished filming Season 1.
It's full greenlit now, and that there are rumors that they're going to be doing a Season 3 as well. But the big rumor that's going around, and I didn't see exactly where this rumor was stemming from, but they're saying that it's going to be a lot of New Vegas in the second season, and the Yes Man robot is rumored to be there in the show. And I don't remember too much of the Yes Man from Fallout New Vegas, only a little bit.
I don't remember much yet.
So that was the big rumors on that. For the news, All right, guys. You know how I mentioned a while back that Voyager 1 had lost communication?
Mm-hmm.
As of April 20th, they have regained communication with the probe. It is now approximately 24 billion kilometers from Earth, which is 15 million miles. Or billion. Sorry, billion miles. Which is insane. And the fact that they were able to upload a complete firmware... software, or it was actually more like software, 15 billion miles and fix this robot or this probe from that far away is insane.
Mm-hmm. Well, all they did, if I remember correctly, is they bypassed the damage module.
Yeah,
the there's memory. Only so many more times they can do that before it's unrecoverable. But I love how instead of just giving up on it, they're constantly trying to get it to keep sending data out as long as it possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the bad thing about that. They are saying that Voyager 1 can pretty much fly forever because there's nothing holding it back.
Mm-hmm.
There's no resistance in space that we know of. But the instruments are all starting to lose power. They're degrading. And they expect within the next few years that they're going to have to shut it down. They're going to let it continue mm-hmm. flying, and they're going to continue to communicate back and forth, but none of the scientific instruments will work anymore. It will be basically gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to track how far it goes, but that's all they'll be able to do. They are getting telemetry back, and they're expecting to get the science data back in the next few weeks. That's how long it takes for that data to get here.
mm-hmm.
With that old tech, which is still incredible. Two big things that they've learned from the probe when it entered interstellar space, so outside of our solar system, that the sun's magnetic field actually goes further out from the known or suspected boundary of our solar system. And they're picking it up. They originally thought it was around 14 billion kilometers out was the edge. Now they're saying it's even further than that, up to 20. And that's a lot of distance. That's a huge amount of distance. And they're saying that interstellar space, they were expecting it to be calm and serene environment like we would see in movies and TV shows. They're finding that that is not the case. They basically describe it as frothy and dynamic. And it,
yep.
It's interesting. Very interesting. The fact that they don't have any cameras, though, sucks. But it would be, it'd be cool to see it.
You're talking about flying something that was made in the 60s or 70s. I can't remember. With NASA? Those camera, with yeah. that camera technology, I'm surprised it lasted as long as it did out in space.
Yeah, they had to shut down the camera shortly after entering interstellar space.
Mm-hmm.
So the power couldn't handle it.
The question is, how can they describe it as frothy and dynamic if they don't have any photos or anything showing?
You don't need photos to be able to detect a magnetic field. You have magnetic sensors to actually record the magnetic field around the
Yeah, they have a lot of scientific probe. Instruments that do different things still working and functioning on the probe.
They're talking about if you look at, best way to put it, if you look at a wave chart, they're talking about what it looks like. They expect it to be pretty much a straight line, and it's still giving you magnetic waves.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's sad. It's going to be going. But they still have Voyager 2, which hasn't really made the news. It's a few billion kilometers behind Voyager 1, but they're still getting a lot more data from that as well.
I haven't heard anything about its power systems failing.
They haven't done anything about it. They haven't talked about mm-hmm. it at all. I mean, you can go on NASA's site, and they do have updates. I'm going to have to mm-hmm. do that. And they're planning on actually sending out Voyager 3. It's planned for the next 5 to 10 years. They're going to launch it.
Now, I can't wait updated. To see that one go. I can't wait to see that cameras. One go up.
Yeah, but it's going to take several years before it gets into interstellar space.
Screw it. Put an ion engine on it and let it go.
Boom.
It'll take forever for it to get going, but once it gets going, you'll get that.
They say with modern rockets, they can get that thing going a lot faster mm-hmm. than the previous Voyagers. And they want to, again, take more pictures of the outskirts planets, especially the ones around the little dwarf planets around Pluto and that system right there.
They actually need to fly out and actually take a picture of Pluto's broken heart now.
Yeah. I love seeing these high-definition images that are coming from James Webb of our planets.
Mm-hmm.
So freaking cool.
Did y'all hear the news about a mystery planet, though?
Yes.
Now further out, they believe there's new evidence that shows a huge ninth planet in our solar system, not a dwarf planet like Pluto.
Didn't they say it was like a couple million miles past?
I think so, something like that. Edge. Yeah,
but still still technically trapped by the magnetic field and the gravity from the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I read a little bit about that. And I don't know. If they can get eyes on it, then I will be impressed and I'll say, okay, yeah, there we go. Ninth planet.
Oh, yeah. That would be pretty cool.
So scientists have developed a vaccine for bees. We've had this, I don't know how many people know about this, but it should be because big news for a while. But honeybees have been dying left and right.
Save the bees!
Yeah, pretty much. So scientists have actually developed and is now approved. I don't know how they do FDA approval for insects, but it's the first vaccine for an insect. And it's going to reduce the hive deaths that has been plaguing our bees for, what, 5 to 8 years now? Something like that. A spore-forming bacterium called, let me see if I can get this right, Panobacillus larvae, is what's been the cause of killing the bees. It's like a really, really bad cold for bees. Mm-hmm. It's been killing hives. So this is actually, they've been testing it, and it's been proving effective and has reduced that particular bacterium by more than 50% in the hives that they've that they've put it in.
It's bee COVID.
So a little bit on the AI front, guys. There's a new AI bot that was developed for Wall Street for investing, and they ran a test on it for 30 days. And the results were kind of interesting, makes me wish I had it. But they invested $1,000. Huh?
So the results are kind of scary.
Yeah. They gave it $1,000 to invest for 30 days, and the return was $50,000. That's
not bad.
Insane. That's not heard of for people. Like, it's not brokers. That means would dream
that. Means that if people get their hands on this type of technology, Wall Street is literally going to disappear. Like, it's going to collapse.
Yeah, that's
because
the
anybody
big,
will
scary
be
part.
Able to do that.
Now,
if
the
Wall
good
Street
thing,
collapses, we have a problem.
The good news about that is it's in the best interest for Wall Street not to allow that to occur, because that's a worldwide issue, not just a U.S. issue.
Correct.
Yeah, but the good thing about it is there's a lot of things in AI that it's in people's best interest for it to not occur, but in the wrong hands, it's occurring anyway.
The fact that even announced that this technology exists and the results was dumb.
Yeah, because now people are going to be trying to replicate it. Oh, wow.
It's because
$20,000 in 30 days?
All businesses want to use AI. It's cheaper than hiring people. But we're not going to go there because that's going to lead into a political argument I don't want to have.
Yeah, it goes into a big discussion. We've got into it briefly in our AI episode we did a while back.
Mm-hmm.
The first episode of season two of this year, actually.
I do like the next.
Yeah, the U.S. government has finally formed an AI advisory board to combat harmful AI. It's becoming more and more apparent that this is becoming a must, and that we have to have very strict regulations on this technology.
Especially when things like the previous article can happen.
Yeah, or the next one I'm going to talk about.
Right.
Or people using the language bots to write their papers for them.
Oh, yeah. That's minor stuff compared to some of the stuff. Like, there was the criminal charges for AI are starting to continue, starting to mount up. Remember we talked about the first criminal charges ever? Yeah, in Florida. Well, a gym teacher in Baltimore County was arrested for allegedly using an AI voice clone to try to get the high school principal fired.
So something that they talked about in that panel that we didn't display that we went to, the voice actors, I forgot what the group's called.
The union, basically.
Yeah, pretty much the union. Well, they're a nonprofit that supports the voice actor union. 3 seconds of recording audio from your voice and they can completely mimic your voice. Not the mannerisms, but your actual how you sound.
Yeah.
Yep. 3 seconds. That's all they need. They just need 3 seconds. So if you call someone's cell phone and you have a voice recording that says you've reached my voicemail, whatever, that's all they need. Bam. Mm-hmm. Now they have your voice. They can use your voice for anything.
Or if spam callers call you up and they know you're going to say no thank you, which is not enough, but that's close. So they can get you talking for just a couple more seconds. They can use it.
Mm-hmm. And they got your voice.
What's scary, though, is if you really want to get an idea of how effective this AI system is for mimicking your voice, Top Gun Maverick for Iceman, they did a pre-test before they did the movie, and they have an AI speak for him that sounds exactly like him with his mannerisms and everything. So if they got the time to actually mimic your mannerisms, that is so scary.
Yeah. This is a whole can of worms, but we're going to be monitoring and talking about different AI developments as they come along, because it is something that's really big in the world, especially with tech. But to get away from that a little bit, there is a new transforming Autobot toy, the Megatron.
Seen it.
It is so cool.
Labeled as a tech Marvel, basically, for toys. But the price tag of this thing.
Not just Megatron. They also had
Optimus.
Optimus already been out. Too. But Megatron is the one that's coming out soon, which is supposed to be better than Optimus from all the reviewers I saw. But they're pricing it at $800 to $1,200.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's wicked cool, though.
Yeah. It's turns into a remote-controlled tank that can actually shoot.
That when I saw that video today, I was like, oh my God, I want one. How much is it going to cost? And I saw a price tag. I was like, nope.
nope. Not going to happen.
It says like 270 different phrases, too, which is insane.
On the movies, we all knew this was going to happen. Doom Part 3 was greenlit, obviously. Duh. It's one of the biggest movies to be out in many, many, many years.
Freaking better be greenlit. I seriously doubt the next part, though.
Yeah, well, that's what the director was saying.
There's no way.
He was saying it could be another 4 to 5 years before we see it because he wants to do a different movie first. And then this one will take 3 to 4 years to actually produce.
No, because between the first and the second, it wasn't really that long.
It was a while.
Not that long, though. And you can't wait that when you have actors who are young and they're like in their early 20s, you can't wait 5 years to put out another movie. Otherwise, they're going to look completely different.
I think it'll be within the next 3 years.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. It's the popularity of it. You know the studios are going to be pushing him to do it.
Yeah. Well, I really want to do this this remake over here first that I signed. No. Do this. Do Dune, because that's what people want.
I want it bad. See, Dune Part 1 and 2 was basically the same parts or two parts of the first book. Part 3 is going to be the second book, which kind of goes deeper into the story that they left completely off on Dune Part 2.
I mean, they left the way they left it, 3 needs to come out. Like tomorrow.
Yeah, I wish.
They need to hurry up and get this movie out.
If my books ever become movies, I'm going to demand that they do each book is two parts, but I want them to come out 6 months apart. Not this book, 2 or 3 years.
Each book is two parts, huh?
In order to be able to do it some justice, it would have to be at least two parts.
True.
Okay.
You guys want to hit this last one really quick?
Let's go watch it all back to back to back. apparently, they're making an extended remastered Lord of the Rings trilogy, and it's coming to theaters this summer.
They're doing it 3 days over Saturday, Sunday, and Monday.
They should just release it on Blu-ray and let me go buy it.
They probably will afterward, without a doubt.
Isn't it already? But aren't the extended remasters already out on Blu-ray?
Extended edition, yes. Remaster?
What are they going to remaster, though?
They're saying,
are they going to pull a George Lucas and add more things to
it? Something on an article I was reading said that for the first time ever, the Lord of the Rings trilogy extended edition is coming to theaters. No, they actually did 1 and 2 already. I went and saw those in the theaters. That was a special event, too, but that was all on the same day. That was a long day, and I'll do it again.
12 hours in a theater. At least the chairs in the theaters around here are comfortable.
Yeah, the theater I went to when I watched it was very comfortable, and they gave us little lunch breaks in between each movie.
Maybe they'll do this up at the one up in Bakersfield that actually serves food at their theater.
Oh, yeah, that'd be good, huh? I love that theater.
Delivered, dude. Yeah, see, the theaters around here have, like, the whole reclining and heated and everything. I feel like in a movie, especially an extended version of Lord of the Rings, I'd fall asleep. Got me too comfortable now.
If you're trying to watch all three of them, that's roughly 12 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking a nap then.
The theater that Rook's talking about, they actually have full wait staff that comes in the theater, and they have a full tray, full reclining, everything, and they take your order to the movie before the movie, and the food's really good too. The pizza there, oh. So good.
That'd be obnoxious, though. You're sitting there trying to watch the movie, and you see people walking in left nonstop.
It doesn't affect it how they have it built. You don't. It doesn't affect you.
You don't see them.
Mm-mm. They're really good about it too, and it is expensive. I've once spent nearly $100 for two people.
Yeah, it was expensive, but it's worth it in my opinion.
It is. I loved it. That's why I went to that theater probably like 7 or 8 times.
You know what I always thought would be kind of cool. I always see these things. I think they kind of talked about it at one of the panels on WonderCon. But have you ever seen where they like play the Jaws movies at a big like it's like a big like drive-in movie theater type screen? Except you're like sitting on tubes floating out in the water while you're watching Jaws. That would be so much fun. Oh, just that... sitting out there floating in the water watching Jaws.
So the theater we're talking about was Studio Movie Grill.
Yep. Actually, I do like drive-ins. Those theaters are... I do like drive-in theaters. They're really rare these days. But Washington has one where the local population fought tooth and nail to upgrade to a digital system just so they could keep the Blue Fox drive-in.
So there's a theater in Pasadena, Rook, that we should check out one of these days for a really high-profile movie, like maybe, I don't know, Avatar 3. It's called IPIC, IPIC Theaters. It's in Pasadena, and it's supposed to be way better than Movie Studio Grill. There's less seats, so you have to get tickets way in advance, but it looks so good. It looks awesome.
We have a couple drive-ins around here, but the only thing I hate about drive-ins is it's always two movies, which is fine. But the second movie always starts in like the freaking 1 o'clock in the morning. And by the time you're done, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it's a drive-in. You want to have darkness so you can see the screen.
Obviously, but I'm saying like, just like make it like half the price, but only show one movie. And then that's perfect. And dark, you go see the one movie, you're done by about midnight. That'd be perfect.
Yeah, when Buffalo, they actually had a drive-in, me and my ex-wife used to go and take the kids, we'd only go see one movie. Even if they did the double feature thing, we'd only go see one. But oftentimes they would do single movie showings during the weekend.
The problem is they always show the one that you want to see second.
You go there
to see like the new Marvel movie or something, and then they'll have another movie first, and then the new Marvel movie will be the second one. You're like, come on. But another one I'm looking for to come out around here is that Hundreds of Beavers movie. I want to find a theater around here that has it because I want to go see it.
It looked so horrible, but so funny at the same time.
It looks terrible.
But yeah. It gets amazing reviews. People say it's like the best thing ever. I want to see it.
Mm-hmm. It looks hilarious. I'm not going to deny. I'm going to wait till it comes out on video. As in streaming.
It might not come out on video.
It will.
Yeah. It's just a weird little independent film. I want to see it so bad, though.
When we heard about that, we were like, what is this? We need to see it now. Honestly, the trailer, everybody.
It is on streaming, actually. They have it on Apple TV.
Oh, I don't have Apple TV.
I do.
No. You do?
Yeah, that's my like dad has an account, so I use his.
Dude, if only there was a way we could all log into it and be on Discord and watching this movie together, because that would be amazing.
Well, guys, this is going to wrap up tonight's episode. This has been episode 30 of Raw and Nerdy. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back again next Monday for you guys for episode 31, obviously, because I started using that word so much this episode.
Obviously.
If you want to reach out for business or requests or things like that, email us podcastraw@gmail.com. You can follow us very easily or get a hold of us on Discord. We're there quite a bit. Rook hasn't been there so much lately because he's been working so much, but that's understandable. discord.gg/rawpodcasts. That's GG as in grape. You can follow us on X, Podcast Raw. You can follow us on Facebook, which is, I believe, what, Raw Podcasts?
Raw Podcast.
And our Instagram.
Raw Podcast 1.
Yep, what he said. Do that. You can follow us individually as well. I am at The Widget on X and everything else, like Steam and all that. The Widget, THEWIGIT. But on Instagram, I am Author Widget.
And you can reach me at almost everything as Tomcat213, except for Steam and X. Those are Rook213.
And since the only place you're going to reach me is on social media anyway, you can find me on all the social medias at TheArchon606.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and have a fantastic nerdy week.
Y'all stay nerdy.
Have a great week, guys.